You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
Have you ever heard it said that Easter is like the Super Bowl of churches? You know, so here it is the week after that. Like, okay, Lord, we had such a huge celebration last week, so what's next? And that's what I'm going to talk to you guys about today. Really felt the Lord put something on my heart to share about that. As Louis said, my wife's not able to be with me here. We've got a great thing going on with our daughters, and they live in the Fresno area. And so my wife is with them, helping them move into a house. My two adult daughters are actually moving in to be roommates together, which is pretty cool. As a parent, thinking that is a miracle. They're going to do that of their own free will. There will be no murder happening. That's a miracle. We're just pretty excited about that. So Lucinda's there, but she's sad that she's not able to be here today. As I said, the week after Easter, last week was a high point, right? We get together, God's people, we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection. It's an amazing thing in the kind of flow of church life. So it's definitely the high point. And I realized I've been through a lot of years of, okay, now what's next? That's what I'm going to talk about today. In our lives, it kind of parallels that calendar. Okay, God, now what's next? Now that I've understood that you, the Lord of all, came and died for me, I give my life to you. God, we celebrate that. That's an amazing thing. But what's next? There is next steps, I got to tell you. God's plan is not only that we come into relationship with him and then that's it. Can you imagine that would be quite the thing if that happened and people come to relationship with God and then die right there and go to be in his presence? Altar calls would be very unique, wouldn't they? Come forward and bodies are just dropping. It's not how it works. There's more. God has more in his plan for us. Once we come into relationship with him, there are things that then unfold, right? After Easter, there's more. So kind of in that vein, I found a video not long ago that actually is a church with little kids talking about Easter. And it's pretty, it's not irreverent, it's just kid-like, right? Actually how this video goes, and we're going to look at it in a minute, is the kids telling the Easter story like they would think, and then their parents acting all the stuff out. So Jenny the poet's going to put up that video clip for us, and we can watch it here for a minute.
After Jesus died, they put Jesus in a tomb and wrapped him with some white paper. They put a big stone around it and placed guards in front of the tomb to let nobody go in. He was just waiting for the 3 days. He's probably drinking soda light and hot Cheetos. He'll probably play games like Candyland and then have a party. Himself. The Easter Bunny is hiding behind a tree. He's probably went out there and just throw eggs everywhere. And then he's gonna say, "There's one money egg, so you better find it. You can leave it some money." 3 days later, there's a big earthquake.
I think we should go away somewhere safe.
It's like I'm getting out of here.
Shaking, run for your lives.
And the guards ran off because they got scared.
And then on Sunday, Mary and some of her friends came with some spices. But when they got there, the tomb was empty.
His clothes only was there.
Then an angel came and said,
"Don't be afraid. Jesus has risen from the dead. Go tell the good news."
Mary and her friends went and told the disciples.
She said, "Jesus has risen from the dead.
Guys, Jesus has risen from the dead."
And the disciples didn't believe them.
"No, that couldn't happen.
Jesus can't raise from the dead.
I don't believe it until I see it."
But all of a sudden, Jesus was there.
"I am Jesus. I am the Son of the Lord God. And I am Jesus, your friend."
And then the disciples said,
Jesus, it's you!
Yay!
Jesus is alive!
Totes cool. Jesus, before he left to heaven, he said,
I have done what I have came to do. And then he risen, and he was going up to heaven. His disciples were crowded around him.
The disciples said, holy guacamole.
I can't believe Jesus really flew.
That's awesome.
Now what?
Let's go tell the news.
I didn't read that version where they said, holy guacamole. I thought that was pretty cool. I saw that and just kind of made me laugh, right? Just a real kid fun thing about, but ending up and saying, okay, what's next? Let's go tell the news. I mean, that seems pretty simplistic. And what we're dealing with after Easter is this idea of, okay, well, what's next? And sometimes it's hard for me to try to wrap my head around, okay, God, what's next? Is it really kind of that simple? And what does it mean to go tell the news? When I was coming into Reno yesterday, driving over Truckee area and by Donner, a car passes me, old Chrysler 300-something, and it was all over this car. I haven't seen anything like this in a long time, where like the repent or burn, you know, you need Jesus, like all over the car in letters, the entire thing was covered. And I resisted the urge to speed up and laugh at the person or see what kind of person that was. Or I know that's not what God means when he's telling us, go and tell the news. You know, does that mean 24/7 preachifying in your life? Like as you walk everywhere, you're supposed to be stopping everyone you meet and launching into sermons. Is that what it means to be going to tell the news? Really? Well, that's not what we see in Scripture when God tells us what's next. We actually see Jesus kind of showing us what's next. We're going to look at that today. It's pretty awesome. Jesus in Scripture talks about things and teaches us. Then he explains it to his followers all the time. And most importantly, he lives it out. So we get to see how Jesus approaches things and realize that's a template for us or a pattern for us to follow. So, you know, after Jesus rose from the dead, we kind of skip this over in the Bible, but it was 40 days until he went up into heaven. So what happened during those 40 days? The cool thing is that we see that Jesus starts appearing to people and just gets into their life. There's a whole progression. He appears first to Mary Magdalene, and we saw that illustrated in that incredible dramatic performance. He appears to the disciples in the closed room. Thomas doesn't believe it, so then Jesus appears even later. You got two guys that right on the Easter weekend are actually walking to another town on this road to a place called Emmaus, and Jesus appears to them and talks them through what's going on. So for these 40 days, it's pretty cool. We see Jesus interacting with people's lives. He continues to show to people who he is. He shares his life with them, even for those next 40 days. One of these times, and this is in the book of John, in John chapter 21, we're going to look in a minute, Jesus appears as his disciples are fishing. And it's a pretty interesting interaction. And that's the section that I want to look at and kind of draw some principles out for a pattern that we also can take our next steps. Now that we know that Jesus has risen from the dead, we've celebrated that. What is there next in life? Well, we can see how Jesus did it. And in this interaction with Peter, we can learn some amazing things. So if you have your Bible, if you could turn to John chapter 21. Sorry, I wasn't quite so dialed in to have all the words on the screen. I forgot what kind of version usually of Scripture that we read. Here, is it ESV, the Especially Sanctified Version, or no? People have different, you know, actually today I'm going to read out of the NIV to look at this story. I know, sorry. But it's kind of a key to something we're going to look at really clear, too. You know, in our English Bibles, it's translations of what the original was written in Greek in the New Testament. So over the years, they try to dial in the words a little bit better. And over the years, our use of English changes. So some of you that grew up reading King James Version of the Bible with the way they would treat pronouns like thy and thou, well, the way we speak now is different. It's not that the Bible has changed. We just fine-tune the English words a little more. And there's some really interesting things to see about that. Now, when we change the words in the Bible over to English, sometimes we lose a lot of that richness. So one of my illustrations I found years ago, I read about a group of native people, Eskimos, that lived in Upper Canada area, and they had 7 different words for snow, right? They had a word, a unique word that meant the snow that had just lightly fallen was all fluffy. They had another different word for the snow that was kind of been a while there and was crunchy and hard, right? Another word for snow that was just very wet. 7 different words. One for the yellow, I don't know, just different words. But I read this example of one of those people wrote a letter back to a friend, English speaking, and so that person translated it over. And think about it. They would have all these different words for snow, but when you turn it in English, it would just say snow. So, you know, their thing could be, I went out today and walked in the fresh snow, but it would just in English turn into snow. So we read that a lot in the Bible. There's some rich depths to the way that the translation happens. And actually, that's going to show us a key to what we're going to look at today. So, John chapter 21, we're going to look at verses 15 to 17. Jesus has told his followers after he's risen, and now that he's in these 40 days, jumping into their lives back and forth, he's telling them that you need to go and tell the news. In fact, we call it the Great Commission. The very last thing Jesus says, he tells all of his people, okay, go into the whole world and tell everyone about me, make disciples in my name, teach them all these things. This is God's plan. After Easter, we get to go share the news. We get to live out God's truth to people. In Matthew 28 there, we've all learned that Great Commission, go and tell the whole world. It actually is better the way the language works. It really is better translated as you go into the whole world, make disciples of everyone. So, just like Jesus did, we see he's going into all these people's lives in those next 40 days. After Easter, he's sharing life with all these different people and telling them the truth of what's going on. This is what we're also called to do. So, in John chapter 21, this is the very last personal appearance that we see as Jesus connects into somebody's life. It's the guys are out fishing because they're still kind of unsure of what's going on. And this is the first time we see in the Bible that Jesus has this personal interaction with Peter. So I want to remind you, remember before the crucifixion and before Jesus rose from the dead, the last like one-on-one time with Peter is when he denied Jesus 3 times. That's a huge part of the story. And now we've got these 40 days later, Jesus is going to talk to Peter personally again. So I'll start reading in verse 15. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. So Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Then the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, I think we can see in this short little account, I want to draw your attention to a few things, very profound things about what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, this interaction kind of speaks to us about how Jesus interacts with us, but it also shows this pattern for how we're supposed to take these next steps and go to the world. And the first thing that really stands out to me that I want to draw your attention to, again, is we've got Jesus interacting with Peter and helping him through that, how he had denied Jesus 3 times, and now he gets the opportunity to affirm 3 times and to deal with that issue, right? What we see here is that Jesus comes at Peter with grace, interacts with him with grace and love. Can you imagine if Jesus would have, in this account, talked to Peter and the first thing he would have said is, dude, you knucklehead, why'd you deny me 3 times? Didn't you know better? Or, you know, I get this picture in my mind of just coming up and just, you know, cuffing him on the head. Come on. I'm so disappointed in you. But that doesn't happen. And think of what this guy must have been feeling, right? Just the turmoil he was going through. And yet Jesus shows up and is just so full of grace and gives them the opportunity to work through this, right? This is what God calls us to be like to this world. People, you and I know because we're a part of this, we're messed up. And here Jesus sends us out into these next steps of his plan is we go to this world and we interact with these people and we don't come in judgment. We don't slap them upside the head. We don't say, what are you thinking? Just like Jesus, we come with grace and love. Now, I got to tell you, I saw a cool, just the coolest example of this with my buddy Louie yesterday. So I get into town and we get to hang out. Of course, need a Diet Pepsi to drink. We go down to Bully's, right? It was great. Get some appetizers. We're sitting there. And as I'm sitting there with Lou, a guy comes walking up who's an old friend of his from high school that they used to play baseball together. So this guy comes up. They say hi to each other. I think it'd been a long time since they've seen each other. But the guy comes up. They're just interacting. And then it doesn't take too long until he kind of just spills his guts. They'd just gone through a horribly rough divorce not long ago, right? And I got to see, as Louis was talking to him, he just started saying some comforting things, encouraging the guy, right? Telling him, hey, don't try to go through this alone. You need to talk to people. You need to really share that stuff. It's difficult. He just responded in a lot of grace, not, oh, man, don't you know that's messed up? Or what'd you do to deserve that? None of that kind of approach. Just an approach of grace. And Jesus does this with Peter. He doesn't blame him. He doesn't point the finger. He extends this love, right? And then lets this guy start to work through that. I'm so grateful that this is how God is to me also. But it's a real clue as to how we are supposed to go into the world. We go and we start to share life with somebody. We start to interact with them. And it's not going to take long until something comes up. My wife has this incredible gift. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's cursed. She thinks it's a gift. Like when she'll talk to people, even at Target or something, she just asks some questions and pretty soon they're pouring out their life. You know, I want to ring up my purchase and go home. But she just says things and all of a sudden they start sharing. And before you know it, they're really interacting. And it can happen so quick. And she has this opportunity to just say a loving and a graceful thing. All of us, we have stories. When you're out in the world because God wants you, as we're going through this world, to share life on life with people, a huge thing is to come at them first with grace and love. And it's a great picture that we see Jesus doing that to Peter. Now, the second thing that I see in this that I just love, and I want to draw your attention in this version of the English stuff, in the NIV, look at this interaction of the words. Jesus in verse 15 says, do you truly love me more than these? And the reason this version turns it into English to say truly love is because in Greek, there's a couple of different words for love. Just like that snow example, right? Actually, in Greek, they had four different words for love. They used one word, that eros, that we turned in English into like erotic. It was the physical sexual love. So they used that word. But really, if we changed it into English, we'd just say love. They used another word, phileo, which we in America, we have Philadelphia, the city, city of brotherly love. So phileo was this kind of friendship, brotherly love. And then they had a word, storge, which was talking about family interactions and the love you would have for one of your kids. And then a word that in church we're familiar with, agape. And that also just means love, but it's this unconditional, true love that doesn't need anything back in return, but is really the example of God, a godly love. So look at what happens here in this interaction. It's very profound. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, Simon, son of John, do you agape? Do you truly love me? And then Peter answers back, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But he answers back in that other term, phileo. Jesus is saying, okay, Peter, do you unconditionally, just all, no holds barred, do you love me? And Peter answers back, Jesus, I love you. So then Jesus asks again, Peter, do you agape, love me? Is this unconditional? And our guy Peter answers back, Lord, phileo, at this love, you know that I love you. So then look at the third time in verse 17. So now Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, and then he uses that word phileo, do you love me? This is an amazing example of Jesus meeting a guy just right where he's at. Right where he's at. And this, again, is this incredible template for us as we're interacting with the world. Jesus talking to Peter, hey, are you here? Peter's like, no, I'm here. Jesus kind of dialing in, are you? No, I'm here. Okay, you're here. What a relieving, amazing, graceful thing to do, to come to the world, just like, and again, remember, you and I are like this, that are messed up and we've got things going on, and yet Jesus shows us, love those people, be graceful, and interact to them like right where they're at. It reminds me of old school Christianity, like a Billy Graham crusade. In one of the famous songs, the guy would sing this song when he was inviting people to come give their life to Jesus, the song, Just As I Am. That song was not Just As I Am, except you got to really be cleaned up. Stop swearing, don't smoke, have everything together, and now come to Jesus. It was not that at all. Jesus meets us, God's life, right where we're at. When I was a janitor at a church and just starting out, I was just starting to date Lucinda. There was a guy that was a homeless guy that was living in his car by the church. One of the other janitors led him to the Lord, and it was just really cool. We got to start to talk to this guy. He had just didn't know anything about Jesus in his life at all. And now this guy, Eric, had given his life to God. I'll never forget this Wednesday night. We were in at a service, and that church at the time would have everybody during worship. The pastor stopped, said, okay, join hands with people and let's pray together. So my buddy Dean and his wife and my girlfriend at the time, Lucinda, a couple other people, and this guy, Eric. So we all join hands and a couple people pray. And then this guy, Eric, starts to pray. And this is how I prayed. Dear God, thanks for these bleep, bleep, effing, bleep, Christians. God, they're so bleep, bleep, cool. And he just dropped the most F-bombs and just swore like I couldn't believe. And so he's starting to pray like that, and we're all holding hands. And I'm starting to shake with laughter. I look over, and my girlfriend also, this is a good thing. I knew she was good because she was smiling and laughing. And I'm telling you, it was like the sweetest prayer I think I've ever heard in my entire life. It really was. It also taught me some conjugations of the word that I'd never heard before. But it was so sweet. And in my mind, that was exactly what Jesus would show us to do, right? The point wasn't about that this guy was all cleaned up. The point wasn't that he even knew better or not, right? It was just right where he was at to meet him there. And this is what Jesus does with us, and this is what he calls us to do with the world. We meet them, and we get to be graceful and love. And yeah, they don't have good theology about God. They just got whacked ideas. Maybe the way they're living is just out of bounds. Reminds you of us, right? See, that's the cool thing. It really is how Jesus interacted with us. But then he calls us now, as we're in the whole world and we interact with people and share life with them, we get to meet them just right where they're at. Not requiring them to have been cleaned up first to see God's love and to see the life of Jesus. So we can do this kind of life on life with people and meet them. And, you know, like I said, it reminded me of that issue yesterday that I saw Louie and this guy. Didn't need to talk him through the difficulties of divorce and ask what the guy, the decision made. Just approached him with love and grace and right where it was at, too. Now, the cool thing is I read somewhere, I can't find exactly who said this, but this amazing definition of grace that said what grace is God's love in action toward us that meets us just right where we're at and doesn't leave us there. That's the cool thing. You and I know that as we're going through life and we're sharing life on life with people and we express God's love, this is the plan from the Lord. As we express his love, the Holy Spirit will start to work on people. Doesn't just leave them there in that mess. So to meet people where they're at and be okay with that is not saying that we're condoning their mess. Jesus, as he talked to Peter here, meets him there and starts to work with him and starts to call him on. And that's the last thing I want to share out of this section also. You know, Jesus is interacting with Peter and is saying these things. He's being graceful. He's meeting him at that exact level. But then you notice in this story, he keeps on calling Peter to something more. And here's this guy out fishing, which had kind of been his old life. That's what he was used to. And now Jesus is saying, take care of my people. He uses the illustration of lambs and sheep. Feed the sheep, feed the lamb. He's calling this guy, Peter, away from just being concerned with himself and his own life and taking care of his own needs to really entering into this kingdom of God and caring about other people and taking care of them and extending God's life to those others. So we see that in the way that Jesus interacts with people is the same thing for us. As we share life with people, they will see God's life in us, and that kind of opens their eyes. There's more to life. Rearranges people's priorities. We get to be an example to them and kind of call them into this understanding, man, there's more to life than fishing, right? We share life with people that don't know Jesus all the time. And it doesn't take long to see their frustration. You know, how long can you go trying to make yourself happy and you just get to the end of it? It really doesn't take too long for people trying to make enough money or fill their life with enough, they think, perfect relationships or set themselves up, where it just is so hollow. So what we get to do is as we go through this world, as we share life one-on-one with people, we get to call them, just like Jesus did, to more. They get to see there's more to life than just the physical. There's more to life than just going fishing, right? Jesus tells that to Peter. He starts to call him, care for others. Spend your life in the service of other people. And so as God's examples, we get to do that same thing. So you got somebody at work or at school. You get to start sharing life with them, right? They get to know you. You're being this person of grace and love. You don't have to be preachifying all the time. You're just sharing your life. This is how all transformation happens, is life on life. And as you're sharing that life with them and they start to see you, like, why has this person got joy in their life? I'll never forget, I had a buddy that I went through college with that decided to go into a hardcore tech career. He's one of the first guys with the Avid digital technology that they now edit films on. He was like the whole West Coast guy for that. So here we are, two young college guys, good buddies, and our paths went very different. I started working as a janitor. I was going to go into being a youth pastor. So some of you might know the salary ceiling on that, just sky high, right? Yeah, there's no money in that kind of life. And my buddy went into this incredibly lucrative career. And the sad thing was, I saw him get pretty caught up that he really was after the money. So circle back around about 20 years later, and I interact with this guy again when I moved back to Los Angeles. That was pretty cool. But it was so interesting to see that for pursuing material things so hardcore, it hadn't really fulfilled his life. And to be honest, even though he had made so much tons more money than I had, he didn't even really have all that much more stuff either. I'm like, God, how did that work? I mean, God took care of me and my family. It's not that we've ever been in want. And here there was a understanding that life is more than just these material things. My buddy, who unfortunately had really just pursued physical things, came to see that that's not the answer, right? There's got to be more. So in your life, as we go throughout this world, you get to show people, you get to open their eyes. They see in your life, wow, it's more than just about the physical stuff. So you and I, just like Jesus did with Peter, we get to be this amazing example of how God's life is reaching out to others. So we see what Jesus does with this guy. The next steps after we realize that Jesus is Lord and we give our life to him is the rest of your life, as you're going throughout the world, you will be drawing others to the Lord. It's as simple as that video in a way. We are telling the good news. But we see how Jesus does that with grace to people, by meeting them where they're at, and by showing them and calling them to more. It really is not very complex, right? It's kind of a simple thing, and yet it takes our whole life. But I hope that encourages you. I hope you see in how Jesus did it, just an easy template for us. You don't have to go out and put a verse on your car today. Please don't cover the thing with it, right? I shouldn't say that. If God calls you to do that, I don't understand. But I don't see that so much in this interaction. What I see in this story are these just cool things. Meet people with grace and love. Come to them where they're at with the love of Jesus. And by the way we interact with them, it opens their eyes. They see that there's more. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for showing us next steps in how we live for you. God, just such a simple, easy thing, but the way you interacted with Peter shows us so much. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of that, God, that as we go through this life, that's how we interact with the world. And thank you, Lord, that we see when life impacts someone else's life, God, this is how they see you. So give us the strength for that, Lord. Remind us of it. Don't let us forget about that, celebrate Easter, and then just wait to go home. God, thank you that there's more to do, and we have these next steps to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You could bow your head just one more time. I want to give an opportunity. If you have never started a relationship with Jesus before, it's a simple thing, but it costs us our whole life. He says if anybody would call upon his name, they'd be saved. Anybody who would turn to him, they would be able to see their life transformed if they would call upon him as their Lord and Savior. And as David was talking today, you may have felt a nudge inside. That's not just yourself, you know, thinking about stuff. It's the Holy Spirit that is drawing you towards God. And if you'd like to start your relationship with Jesus today, it's opportunity to say, I want to turn from following my own way to follow God's way. I want to have my sins forgiven, and I want to be able to live for Christ starting today. If that's you, I just would invite you to lift up your hand, just saying, yeah, that's me. I want to start with Jesus today. I miss you. Right on. I see you. Right on. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. We rejoice with the person making this declaration today. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to take this good news. And even if we don't have all the answers, even if it sounds like sometimes the stuff we're saying is like the kids in that video, at least we're doing it because you've touched our hearts. Help us to be able to touch others. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.